You know, you got to keep your eyes open as you go through life because you never know who you're going to meet and you never know how they're going to be presented to you. And maybe the people you meet, and this is what I've done my whole life, is that I keep an open mind and open heart to all things and all people. And I always am curious, so I'm always poking people a little bit to find out what they are interested in. And, you know, by doing that, you miss some real gems if you don't do that. Let me put it that way. You miss some people that maybe you're meant to meet. I kind of think that, you know, that whenever somebody comes in your life, in a way, you're kind of meant to ask questions because you don't know what effect they may have, or maybe they have a message. So with me today is Sarah Wiggins. Sarah lives near Iron Mountain, Michigan, I think just north of there a little bit. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Now, Sarah also happens to be in a relationship with my son, Ryan. So I got to meet you that way. We got to talk about some things, and we found we have a lot of similarities, don't we?
Yes, definitely. Even a week between our birthdays.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. And then I don't know if you want to share this, but I think it kind of ties into things that I've been told before. You had some visions of some things somehow being connected to me in a different time.
Oh, yes, definitely. I do occasionally get flashes of past lifetimes and others who I've known before. And I've caught a couple glimpses of a prior lifetime in Atlantis, knowing both you and Ryan. And I think there were definitely a few, but the one that was clear to me was one as you being the father of him and I. We were siblings.
So I could have been your daddy.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And didn't you also say like I was a professor or teaching something as well?
Yes, definitely. I would say that you were an elder, definitely, with a huge volume of knowledge on all different topics. I would say that, for the most part, it was, I guess, what you'd call a spiritual leader, instructor, teacher.
See, the reason I'm asking that, Sarah, is because, you know, my friend Joy, who I've let you know about a little bit, she said basically the same thing, that she had a vision of me and I was teaching during the time of Atlantis. And I'm sure I've been doing many other things, not always being, you know, the guy that's teaching. Sometime I was the dummy that was listening or whatever the role might be, you know. But it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, because it's really almost identical or very close to what she said about me in Atlantis. And prior to talking to you and to her, I've always been interested in Atlantis, but I've never really felt like I've been there. But now it starts to become, you know, the more you feel about it. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Sarah. You have a couple boys, right? And you live, where do you live exactly?
Out in the woods, which is the best place to live.
I agree. I agree with you. And you are from that area, just north of Iron Mountain?
Yes, yes. About a year prior, I lived in Albuquerque for a couple of years.
Okay.
And that was pretty cool. I enjoyed the desert. But so now I'm back here and freezing my butt off.
So did you like living in a city?
Actually, I lived up in the mountains.
Oh,
I didn't live in Albuquerque. It was on outskirts up in the... Oh, the name eludes me right now.
So you've
the,
always...
The mountains, the East Mountains. So it was about a mile and a half altitude.
So you were always kind of connected to nature?
Oh, definitely, yeah. That's the best place for me to be.
What is it about nature that you like, Sarah?
It's very calm, and no matter where you go, you can always find beauty in it, even in the starkness of the desert. It has beauty to it.
I think it's like that anywhere, isn't it? We live up here, and a lot of people would not imagine wanting to be in a desert. But that's got to be, you know, it's a different feel, but it's still a great vibration, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've traveled. About the only place I haven't traveled in the U.S. is the East Coast. So I've seen a lot of the U.S. And, man, there are some absolutely gorgeous places in this country.
Do you think...
Especially,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say especially the West Coast, Oregon. It's absolutely gorgeous, like an enchanted forest. Mm. Everybody should go there once in their life.
Do you think that there are points on the planet and this country that are different energy? I don't know how to term it, but you know, they say there's different energy spots in the United States and the world as well, almost like chakras, earth chakras, places that you go that have a magical, powerful feeling.
I would definitely agree with that, yes. I never really seeked them. I haven't actively seeked them out, but you can just tell a lot of the times that there are places that have different energies from the surrounding areas. And I think that if you were to go to some of these areas, like I'm familiar with Sedona, Arizona, mm-hmm. Santa Fe, New Mexico, there's a lot of places in the West that are... I think they call them portals, energy vortexes, but they have a lot of power. And I think part of the reason that I was drawn to Albuquerque was, I think that we all get drawn to different places at different times because that particular, part of the land needs your energy, whether it's temporary for 20 years, I think it's no accident that we end up in the places we end up in.
Mm, that's a good point. That's a real good point. I guess I always thought it was the other way around, but it's both ways. You need it, and it needs you, perhaps, right?
Yes, definitely. And the best thing you can do is listen to your intuition.
So how do you feel about living up here?
Well, I've been up here most of my life, and when I was younger, I really didn't like it, but now I definitely appreciate it because it's pretty sparsely populated, which is great, I think. And, you know, it's not, there's not a lot of development. There's not a lot of, I guess what you would call urban sprawl. There's really not much of an urban area up mm-hmm. here at all. The energy between this and an urban area is just absolutely opposite.
Right.
It's so different.
And I think, you know, I guess my point on it was that I think this is one of those places like you're talking about, even though it's not mentioned, like Sedona. I find that there's incredible energy places up here because we're surrounded by two great lakes and we're kind of in the middle of that. And I've been to different places here where I just feel this incredible energy. So to me, this is another great place to be, not just because it's also more remote, but also because of the energies that the Great Lakes and all the rivers and all the trees and all the there's a ton of inland lakes up here. You know, to me, it's just a very powerful energy. When I moved back up here in 1985 and I drove along Lake Michigan, isn't there something like majestic and powerful, like the lakes and the oceans? You ever feel that, the Great Lakes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the next best thing to the ocean, and the water is alive. The water has a vibration of its own, and I think that large bodies of water carry a high vibration unless they've been, you know, horribly polluted. They do have something different to them than the land does.
It draws you to it, you know, and that's when I grew up. Actually, I lived not far, probably from where you're at. I grew up in Norway, which is probably about, I don't know how many miles from where you live. But, you know, and Ryan, my son, was not far from there as well. So I didn't feel the full effect of Upper Michigan because we were 50 miles away from Lake Michigan. And we only went, you know, to Escanaba once in a while. So when I moved here, it's just like, wow, it just zapped me. And then over the years, I've been doing, you know, I do a lot of work up here. So I travel to Marquette and all over the place where you see Lake Superior, Lake Michigan. And to me, it's overwhelming. It's powerful, powerful energy that exists on both these great lakes. I consider it just I'm fortunate that I can live up here and survive.
Absolutely, yes.
There aren't many other places that I really would want to go to. Although, you know, like you say, Oregon sounds like a pretty cool spot, and maybe some of the mountainous states. So when did you start to know that you were psychic?
I guess I kind of always knew, and I always been interested in, for a long time, receiving psychic readings. And I think that was a gateway to eventually get a reading from somebody who taught meditation to become psychic or open up your psychic gifts that are already there. And so that's how I ended up getting private lessons and accessing what was naturally there. I know as a small child, I talked about seeing angels and various other things, and I think that at some point I just turned it off because I probably saw something that scared me. And I think a lot of people do that, really. Mm-hmm. You end up seeing something that just freaks you out, and you're like, nope, that's it, I'm turning it off.
Right.
Or we
get told by our parents that we're not seeing those things, right? And that kind of shuts it down for us, too.
Yeah, I don't, from what my mother said, she didn't really say, you know, that's not possible, you didn't see that. I would have to say that it was probably more of seeing something I didn't really want to and kind of shutting that down from the fear of it, mm-hmm. not understanding and not having anybody to explain to me that it was okay to see that and that I do have personal power and I can have control over that.
So when did you start to tap into this again? When did you start to wake that up?
This was, let's say the fall of 2012 is when I started doing the meditation classes, and they were just very basic meditation classes, and I did these for, gosh, I'm still doing them to this day, so it's been a couple years, and the more you do it, the more you meditate, and whatever method works for you, you find that method, and then you use it, and it blossoms and it opens for you. And I think it's like anything else, the more you practice, the better you get at it. And I do believe that everybody has the ability to do it. It's just how much time and effort would you like to put into it? You know, where do you want to go with it?
You also told me that you have had some help with people that have actually, there's a place in California, is it Berkeley, California?
I believe it's in Berkeley. It's called the Berkeley Psychic Institute, and I believe that it was started in the 70s, and I ended up working with a husband and wife team that had taught there. Both of them had taught there. They did different classes, and I was just very, very intuitively guided to work with them, because I would have never even consider doing anything like that.
And so what,
or not thinking that I could do it, I guess. That's what it would have been.
What did you feel that you gained from them, what they taught you? What were they teaching you?
A lot of it was, I guess you could call it energetic hygiene, of just removing and taking care of my own energy field, because I had been so bombarded by the people around me. When you're a natural intuitive and healer, people like to put their energy into your space and expect you to fix it, because, I mean, it's not done consciously, so it's nothing that's meant to be nasty, but because of that inclination I have to be a healer, that I would take on so many other people's energy and not be conscious of it. So I ended up being just a very small sliver of myself and everybody else's energy that they dumped on me for 30 years.
Yeah, so you didn't know how to protect yourself and shut it off, did you, from that?
No. Step number one is just grounding yourself, having that connection to the earth, so that you can, I guess, drain off all that excess energy. And then, of course, protection is very important, so you don't end up taking in more.
And what do you do for protection?
I was taught to use, and this I think would really work with any visualization, but we'd use the visualization of a rose on the edge of the aura to catch all the energy that comes at you. So it'll come into the rose, and then it'll be grounded into Mother Earth rather than being lodged in my energetic field.
And there's just many, many unseen things out there that people probably aren't aware of, and then each of us are projecting our own energies, and that has an effect on things. So you've been studying at this for a few years now, and you help people, if they want clearings or cleanings, or what do you do? Do people come to you and get help as well?
Yes, I'm still working with the husband and wife couple, and they offer free healing clinics. And the name of their clinic is, it's called Luminous Intuition. So I work with that group, and they do healings for people, energetic healings, and it's basically whatever you need, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, you know, we'll all together do a healing for somebody. And while I'm perfectly capable of doing a healing for somebody by myself, I think that being with that group really, really increases it, because we all do something different. We all have different healing masters, spirits, you know, that their job is to do healing. We all have different ones. They all do different things. So we put them all together, and it's quite a magnificent healing.
That's pretty cool. And so do you work with certain energies by name? Do you have certain ones that you work with?
Yes, I have a female healing mistress. Her name is Maya. I believe you would spell that A-M-E-Y-A. And while I haven't seen her in form yet, she is like a violet indigo color. And she specializes in female healings for feminine energy. Because, you know, being in these female bodies, we have some different plumbing. So can't do female healing on a man. I mean, it's not going to do any good.
So, okay, well, that's cool. And do you work mostly with women, or do you work with anybody?
Anybody. For the most part, it's women, for the most part, that come for psychic readings and healings. And I don't think that, you know, that's nothing against men, but I think that a lot of women are kind of waking up, and just because of that feminine energy principle, that we're more open to that. Not stronger or anything like that, but just more open to that side of things.
Right. I think as balanced beings, you know, men that are in touch with both sides, the masculine and feminine, those are the ones that are open to it. And women naturally are already, you know, the feminine side is going to be open. Plus, we have the divine feminine knocking on our door every day. So, you know,
oh, yeah,
they are wanting to get their message out. So I think there's a lot of motivation. And you see, women are the ones that are probably going to be, at least for a while, the ones leading us in this direction. That's what I've noticed with all the people that I interview. It's majority of women who are really taking the step to change the world, so to speak, and bring forward more light. And I think there's an equal amount of them. I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are light workers too, but if they aren't willing to turn off their TV and stop watching violence, and nothing against that, that's what you want to do, but, you know, when you're ready to take that step and start allowing the sensitive part of yourself to come through, then you will be able. And kids today, and young adults, there's a lot of guys, though, don't you think, Sarah, that are very aware that, you know, it's changing. It's not like it used to be.
Oh, yes, things are definitely changing. I think it's just a matter of time before everybody's kind of equally open, or everybody just kind of gets it.
Right. Kids are
realizes, oh, my gosh, there's more to life.
Kids are being born into it naturally, especially, you know, in the last, ever since 2012, children that have come along are, you know, because just more and more light, from what I understand, more and more light's coming to the planet. And anybody born into these times is going to have more ability, or should have potentially more ability, to see things more clearly. So everybody that comes along, the next generation, the generation after that, continue to be beings that'll be more evolved than everybody prior to that.
Yes, yes, I've heard a lot of theories as to our DNA is changing, and of course, this, you know, the DNA changes from generation to generation, and this has to do with, you know, activating whether it's our pineal gland or whatever part of our DNA controls our openness and reception. I think that it's evolving in a way that eventually the entire populace will be very open and really in tune with their higher self.
You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off here.
That's okay.
And I guess the question always for that to me is, well, why the heck didn't we do that to begin with? Why the heck do we have to go back and remember this and learn these things? And, you know, if we're these very enlightened beings, why is this starting to take place now?
I don't know. It seems to me like we've been at this point many, many times in our evolution over many, many thousands of years. You know, there was the whole Atlantis thing, and I think it was, I'm not sure because I really haven't looked at it, but I've heard that there were it was a very long civilization and it had a few destructions and rebuilding. And I think that we keep doing that and then we end up at the point where we destroy ourselves because we get taken over by the negative, and, you know, our ego kind of precedes the spiritual side of us, and then we end up destroying ourselves, and it's like we keep getting to this point, and we're at that point again, so what's going to happen? Are we going to destroy ourselves again, or are we going to evolve and ascend?
Are we fighting, though, when you said the negative, are we fighting actually, not fighting, but are we up against some actual negative beings that are trying to kind of keep us in limitation?
Oh, gosh. I've listened to so many interviews by so many people, and there's so many theories. I've heard extraterrestrials that, you know, want to keep us controlled, and going back to the Romans and, you know, how they wanted to control the populace. So they had invented a religion. And so I believe that there's definitely human involvement. I wouldn't be surprised if there were involvement from beings that don't have Earth bodies, whether they're from different dimensions or different galaxies. I think it's kind of like we're in a big melting pot here, and we don't really realize the power that we have as humans, and if we are kept from realizing that, then we don't ever evolve, and we go to that same point of destroying ourselves over and over again. And I think that if enough people can go in a positive direction and kind of wake up, so to speak, that we'll finally transcend that point where we don't destroy ourselves and we realize the power that we have as creator beings.
That we are free to break away from this.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Free will, 100%. We always have a choice.
So you mentioned, because you said our DNA is always shifting too. Did somebody, you think somebody tampered with our DNA?
I do. I happen to believe that, yes. I've heard a few different theories on that, and I think that it was done eons ago by... we'll just call them negative non-terrestrial beings. I don't think that our source, would have done that. I think to deactivate and, you know, remove big chunks of DNA, like we have this junk DNA and they say they don't know what it does. But just because the scientists don't know what it does doesn't mean that it's junk. And I think there was probably a lot more of that we had that we used to create with that has been robbed from us.
Yeah, it definitely seems like there is a change going on in people's bodies. The Earth is changing. You think the Earth is going through global impact from what we're doing, or is it really a shift in the Earth's consciousness?
I'm going to say both. I believe that Mother Earth has probably about had it with the water pollution, the fracking. I mean, the fracking, that alone is just horrific that we would do that. They're, you know, pumping radioactive chemicals into the ground and basically poisoning the blood of the earth. So there's that, you know, that we're slowly or quickly, as it were, destroying the planet with so many different things. And I don't know if it's, you know, she's had enough or if she, you know, was supposed to be at this point, and that working together with her children, which are the humans, that, you know, we kind of realize, wow, we've kind of cleaned this place up before we completely destroy it, and we have no home. Kind of important.
Yeah, there's an article that I just posted on my website. It would be this week. Well, actually, when we do this interview, it'll be airing next week. So, but it talks about Archangel Metatron, and James Tiberian was talking about, through Archangel Metatron, he talked about, Metatron said something to the effect of, Earth really is not being destroyed by us, although we should be. We should take care of it, because life, yeah. we owe the respect to the life that exists here in all the kingdoms. But Earth will not be destroyed by us. Earth is, all this is happening, would happen even if we were very peaceful and didn't have all of the industrial. Earth would still be going through changes because it's shifting to a higher vibration. And a lot of these storms that are happening are helping bring that forward, which made a lot of sense because it brings a lot of energy, each of these storms. That's why there's so many, and they're more intense and they're more intense. So Metatron basically made it sound like we really don't have a huge effect on that. But he's saying that doesn't give you a free get out of jail card. You have some responsibility. You have to be stewards of this planet, because future generations, are they going to be able to exist here?
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. And I've heard a lot about the shift, you know, that we're in an ascension and that we are moving from 3D consciousness into 4D, like rungs on a ladder. That I know of, there's 12 dimensions, and, you know, each civilization, you know, starts at 1D and then works their way up. And I guess we've been at 3D for quite some time, and it's time for a shift, and I am okay with that. That sounds marvelous.
Do you feel that's why you're here?
Yeah, and I think that people are either here to be a part of it or to witness it. And really, either one. I mean, it's amazing to be alive on this planet at this time, because it'll never happen again. It's a remarkable time that we're living in, whether we realize it or not.
Doesn't always seem so remarkable, Sarah.
No. I'm going to have to agree with you on that.
But it's all perspective. And, you know, I guess living up here, we don't see it nearly like it can be in other parts of the world. So I think being here, for one, is a great viewpoint, being in this area. If you can find a way to survive financially, then you have... you're not in a major city where there's going to probably be a little more chaos, or different parts of the world where there certainly is a lot more chaos. So from our standpoint, and we're close to nature, so we can connect with Gaia real easily. And I always liked that part, the part about being close to Gaia. And, you know, to me, getting out in the woods, you just feel this incredible energy, like you're so connected, or like a running stream or a big lake or something.
Yeah, I find that water is definitely relaxing, and you can kind of send all the caca energy down the river. It's very cleansing.
The caca energy?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? I never heard that.
Yeah, so that's the technical term for
it. Is that a metaphysical term now we're talking about?
Well, let's just say it's the clean version.
Okay. The cleaner
what version. I usually use. Okay. Yes.
So people wanted to get readings. What kind of readings do you do? You do healings and readings?
Yes, both. I started out doing more readings than healings, but I've been doing healings now for, probably close to a year now. They've been running the healing clinic. So I'm very, very fortunate to be a part of that. I love doing it, and hopefully we've, you know, helped a lot of people out, at least, you know, with the rough stuff that we have to go through. We all have to go through nasty things.
So when you say healings, it's like an energetic healing?
Yes, yes. And that does not preclude physical healing. I think that everything starts in our energetic body. Any kind of disease or disorder, and left unchecked, you know, it'll eventually manifest in the physical body. So we've done healings for people, you know, with back pain, with all kinds of stuff, all kinds of physical disorders and issues. And I don't think anything is really unhealable with the right...
Do you think also, though, it depends on the individual? Because you can do all the healing you want, energetic-wise, but really, it really has to come from the person. They have to really, and some people will say, well, yeah, I want to live, because I've noticed this with friends of mine, you know, where we've done energy healings with them. And they claimed they wanted to live, but then they didn't live. And I always think, then they must have missed something deeper inside them. Maybe it was part of their path to... agreement that they had to leave at a certain time, or maybe somewhere deep inside them they didn't realize that they truly didn't want to stay here. So it really has to... It really is up to the individual, you know, and we can raise their vibration up all we want, but ultimately, somewhere along the way, somewhere deep inside, they've got to be clear that that's what they want.
Oh, absolutely, yes. We don't do healings without asking permission. You know, if somebody doesn't want one, it's not going to do
right.
Any good.
I'm not saying that. I guess what I'm saying, Sarah, is that as a healer, you can try to project the energy around them to help them, to clean them. And they might be totally agreeing with you and wanting to do this. But I've also witnessed people that have tried to do that, and they didn't heal. And it's because they had something deeper inside them, or maybe it was part of their agreement that they wanted to check out. So really healing, it truly has to be something people on an inside job, and you can only assist with raising people up to that level. And even then, let's say you tried to work on someone and they didn't heal, it's not on you. It's really on them, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of people come into a lifetime with agreements. You know, somebody has an agreement to have cancer, and it's, you know, either to fight it off and heal and, you know, tell other people what they have done so other people can do it, or it's, you know, it's for that specific experience. Even suicide is an experience. You know, when you die, you know, you don't get judged. You're like, oh, well, you committed suicide, you're horrible, and you're staying in this box for the next 50,000 years. It's an experience like anything else. And I guess I don't think that, you know, we're judged harshly for what we do. It's just
an experience. Everything we came here to do was to experience life in a physical form. So if that's the case, then there's no restrictions on any of it. Although there is universal laws, the law of cause and effect, so that's saying that you can't go and poke somebody's eye out, like the Three Stooges. Three Stooges must have had a lot of karma. I'm just saying, yeah, boom. And so the thing is, we are here to learn and experience physical bodies. I guess that's how I see it, any way we want, with the exception of there's going to be universal laws, so that doesn't mean I can take my vehicle and run you over and go, ha ha ha, that was fun, let me back up. There's going to be a repercussion, and it's not a judgment. It's just that, okay, well, this is the pendulum, it swings this way, and now because you did that, it's going to swing back this way. And it's part of our experience, so it keeps things balanced. We have to have these universal laws to keep things balanced.
Yes, and I think a lot of it too is that not only the agreements that we have before we incarnate, but also things that we carry in with us this lifetime from other lifetimes. A lot of people will have, let's just say you have problems with your shoulder, and it always hurts, and nobody can find anything wrong with it. Well, you know, you would do a past life regression on somebody with hypnosis, or you would, you know, look psychically at their past lives and find the origin of this pain. You know, somebody got in battle, was stabbed in the shoulder or shot in the shoulder. So, you know, that was so traumatic that we carry that with us into the incarnation. And while there may be no physical issue there, it's still imprinted in our spirit. So we're carrying that until it gets resolved. It's going to be there.
Is that something you do? Is that something you help people clear?
Actually, I've never done that before. I haven't looked at, a few people, but that isn't something that comes up a lot, the past life connections with certain symptoms. Maybe just a handful of times I've seen that.
Now, when you do readings for people, what exactly do you do what do you mean by doing readings for people?
They're, for the most part, clairvoyant readings, and everybody has different ways that they read. I use my clairvoyance, which is clear seeing, so that would be getting videos, images, and also I use my crown chakra a lot, which is called claircognizance, and that's clear knowing, where you just know things. So I kind of work with both of those, and empathy as well, we're feeling the emotions of somebody else. Like I will look at a past life and kind of feel how that person felt in that lifetime, and, you know, see a movie playing of how they looked and where they were. And I mean, there's really no limit to what you can look at when, you know, when you're in meditation and you're doing a reading for somebody. Once in a while, you get a big screen, but for the most part, you can really look at anything. The person will show you it, basically. I mean, you can't go digging around in somebody's psyche and root out things that they don't want anybody to know. It's not like that.
Right.
You know, the person has to be open to you looking at that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, what we look at is what that person on a spirit level wants us to say hello to. So they can get, so they can have their knowing. If they don't consciously know it, it's on a spirit level, and, you know, you say hello to a past life at some point, and then they realize, oh my gosh, that's why I had such an affinity for Egypt or France or whatever.
Or the Three Stooges, yeah.
That too, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, is this something that you can easily step into?
Yeah, for the most part, like a day-to-day living, I kind of have it turned down. But
I mean, is it something just for the fun of it? We don't have to do it this time, but maybe even next time. But just we could have somebody in, or you can just do something on me if you maybe pick up somebody around me. I've asked people before because I think it's kind of fun to do that. Or maybe you get an image of me in another time, or if you want to save it, we'll have maybe somebody else on the phone with us that we could do as well. Or do you feel anything right now that you want to share?
Oh, let me see here. Well, I usually sit, you know, do the meditation and the protocol for a good 15 minutes, and that allows me to see a lot better. But
sorry, I kind of put you on the spot then.
It's okay. It's okay. So I catch an image of a past life of, I want to say that it was around medieval times, and you're wearing a chainmail. I don't know if it's a uniform, but it looks like you have this big sword, and you're kind of leaning on the sword with the chainmail on, and I get the Knights Templar. So that's what I'm looking at right now.
You mean I'm one of them?
Very random.
I'm one of them.
Huh?
I'm one of them, huh?
It's a good chance. Yeah.
Well, we did have to sack Solomon's Temple, and then we had to move the Ark of the Covenant out of there so we could put it in Oak Island. You know, have you heard about that?
No, I have not. I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
Well, there's a TV show called The Mystery of Oak Island, and some of the speculation is that the Knights Templar took all these things, these artifacts, and one of them would have been the Ark of the Covenant, and one of the resting places for it could be way down at Oak Island, where they have these mysterious chambers every 10 feet. Somebody went through in the 1700s or 1600s and built this on Oak Island, which is Nova Scotia, which is just outside Nova Scotia, Canada, and going down, they believe 100 and some feet, there's some kind of chamber and something is stored there, but it's booby-trapped. Somebody dug these huge tunnels, so when you dig down and you don't know which direction to go, it floods from the ocean. Now, who could have the technology and the ability to do that? And so far, I believe 6 or 7 people have lost their lives because over the years, you know, companies have bought it out and they've been trying to go down there to figure out what's down there. Anyway, I got off course with that. So you see me as medieval times, like perhaps even a Knights Templar. And let me tell you something that I do know, because this kind of ties in perhaps to what you saw. You saw me in what kind of uniform?
It's chainmail, you know, where you have the big breastplate and then right. The arms and legs are covered with chainmail.
Okay, so would you say that fits into the, you know, that you're familiar with the time of Joan of Arc?
Yeah, I wanted to say France, but, you know, honestly, I'm not that good with geography.
So would you say that it could be around that time period?
Definitely, yes, being one of the military during that time.
Because
it looks to me that it's militaristic, you know, of some sort, or like you're a guard, or you're in charge of keeping things safe, something safe, or even someone.
We did a session with one of my friends, Joy, and it's funny how the two of you have hit on similar things, but we actually channeled Joan of Arc. And
wow.
The thing is, my friend Joy, who did the channeling, said that I was there around that time period and that I knew Joan of Arc and I respected her because I knew what she was trying to do. And obviously at the end, it wasn't good for her. They obviously, you know, they turned on her. And it made me very upset. And I think I was carrying that. She even said that I was carrying that. So for you to call on that, and see that just off the top of your head, that's kind of interesting.
it's kind of like the things that you on a spirit level want to look at. That's like going to be right in my face, and that's the one thing that was right in my face. So
that's pretty cool.
Hello to the Joan of Arc lifetime.
Yeah, that's cool. Say hi to Joan for me, would you?
Now, you say hi to her.
Do you do any?
She knows you.
Do you do any channeling at all, Sarah?
No, I never have. Still kind of leery of the whole channeling thing. I guess my flavor of communicating with other entities would be more of a telepathic connection rather than letting something come into my space and
What about loved ones? Do people come to you if they've lost a family member or something like that? Do you get those kind of readings?
You know, I haven't really talked to any dead people. I have a really good friend who all of a sudden I just got an image of China, and she was talking about her grandmother and how she loved this China, and I just got a random message from her grandmother, but it's very rare, so I don't know if that's kind of like a touchy spot for me still, where I'm not like ready to talk to dead people. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with the living people with bodies, but spirits without bodies, no, not yet.
But I guess I'm just trying to define these readings that you do for people. So then when you're doing an actual reading for somebody, what are you picking up for them?
I would say that I specialize in looking at past lives, because when we do readings for people, I'm often the one that's looking at past lives. But we also, you know, read somebody's aura, look at their energy field. And so, you know, we're looking at the person in present time, how their energy looks right now, and what they're letting go of, what they're bringing in. So we look at all the different layers of the aura, which there are 7, and they all correspond to a certain, to a chakra. So we can read chakras, the aura, I mean, really anything. But it's mostly looking at a person in present time, looking at the past lives, and then giving the person a next step, what their next step is on their journey, in which direction would be best for them.
So guidance in that way.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Now, I'm guessing you probably charge a little bit to do that?
I do it for free with the group. I'm not sure how much she charges for it. I read because I like to. I do.
Well, maybe you should get some dough for what you do.
That's a good point. I don't expect to make any money with the group readings, because that like keeps me in practice, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's good for me. It's definitely in my benefit to do that.
So if you do solo, maybe that would be different then, right?
Yes. I've done readings for people in person before, and I do charge for them, not a lot, just a very, very reasonable fee. I'm not, charging people $100 a minute.
And, if you did, there'd be nothing wrong with that, because the universe, I think, will say, you are what you think, worth what you think you are, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and I've had a lot of limiting beliefs with that, so mm-hmm. I'm still working on that.
If somebody wanted to get a reading from you, what would be the best way to go about doing that?
Well, for the most part, I prefer to do them over the phone. It's just easier for me to see that way, because I see best with my eyes closed.
Right.
But, I would do them over the phone. I would even do email readings for people. Because I can write.
So how can they contact you, Sarah?
Email would be best.
What is your email address?
Initially, it is lightworkintuition@gmail.com, lightworkintuition@gmail.com.
And if they contact you, like you say, you could do it over the phone, or you could do it. You don't do them in person too often, I'm guessing.
No, I have, but I really prefer to do them over the phone. I don't know. For me, it feels like there's a little bit more pressure in person. And
oops.
Well, it's not.
Hey, that's not me. You just read somebody else. So then if they're disappointed, you can just hang up the phone on them, you're saying. Sorry,
right.
Wrong number. Click.
No, in fact, never had to do that, but it's easier for me to do it that way. I have nothing against doing readings for people in person. If somebody wants one bad enough, I'll do it, but just personal preference.
Do you ever get readings done for yourself?
Oh, yes. I love them. Because it's so easy to psychically look at everybody else, but when you have to look at yourself, oh my gosh, it's a little difficult sometimes, because mm-hmm. there's so much energy on it.
Right. Most people I know that they're not going to do it for themselves, so they'll have somebody else look at it. And a lot of people I see, and you and I were kind of talking about this before the interview, you see a lot of people that are, whether they're psychic or mediums, they have had difficulties in their lives. They have had a lot of trauma or some real bumps in the road. And what was your theory on that, Sarah?
Oh, that the people who are here on a mission, they call them the light workers, that
right.
often they'll go through something very traumatic or painful, just very difficult situations to gain strength and awareness for the journey, because you're in your body, and that's the hardest life to lead is your own. So,
and also compassion too, you think, for the people you're going to deal with probably too, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's not an accident that we run into people who've had similar experiences to us, and I think it gives us a lot of perspective on our own situation.
I know quite a few people that are, if you want to call them light workers or energy workers, and they've had very dysfunctional pasts, you know, where it's like, well, I mean, I can't say that I had one. I don't believe I did, but I'm not on the level of what a lot of people are doing. And I just think, why do you have to do that? Why would you? And I guess, like you say, maybe compassion, learning, a greater appreciation for it. But I think also you can, maybe that's what we think, you know? And like I mentioned to you in my message that I sent you the other night, haven't we already done that in previous lifetimes over and over again?
Yep.
So why do we?
I guess enough is never enough.
Why do we got to keep doing that? Wouldn't you think once is enough if you learn that already?
Well, I don't know about you, but I don't learn things the first time, and I learn most things the most difficult way possible.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes I think sometimes in life I've done that as well. I've had. If you don't get it the first time, it's going to keep coming back at you. So what do you think is going to be taking place? We're not in 2016 now. What do you think is going to be happening to us in this year?
It would be wonderful if we would all wake up. But, I mean, I see it's not even beginning, but it's in the process, and I think that it will spread exponentially. It seems to me that people are becoming more and more open. Even 10 years ago, it wouldn't be as easy to find as many open-minded people as there is now. And I think that definitely varies by location, but I see that definitely happening. Kind of like a wave that spreads out on the beach. That it's just like this wave that's going through the earth. And then it's going to touch everybody.
And so we're in the process of that shift right now, and that's going to take probably quite a while, don't you think?
Yeah, I believe so. I think this is, you know, we're almost at the peak of it. And I think that where we head as a civilization in the next few years is going to be really important and might even be kind of like the deal breaker to whether we either destroy ourselves or transcend what we've done time and time again.
So we are on this course, and there are those of us that have chosen to come here and help bring that forward, to make that difference, to help to bring this change. This, some people have stated that it was an agreement. We were in the darkness and controlled by others because it was part of an agreement that was allowed with more of the masculine energy. And now the divine feminine is returning, and it is an opportunity for us to wake up and start to get in touch with and balance out our, you know, the masculine side is going to leave. They don't want to leave. Not saying that the masculine side is evil, but the ones that are using it are not of the light. All everybody's of the light, I believe, but they're not using it for that purpose. And so, and we've allowed this because we wanted to play this game. I think it's our fault too. Oh, duality. This is a great game. I love it. I'll get back at you at the next lifetime. Okay. Struggling is great. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. And so enough of us now are saying, well, we don't want this anymore. And we want to get rid of this. And so the divine feminine is returning, part of an agreement, as it's been explained to me. I don't know how you see that. How do you feel about that, Sarah?
Well, I don't want to go all conspiracy theory on everybody, but it seems like there's been a lot of control of humans, and it's been in place for a long time. And I think that if nobody wakes up to it, that we don't stand a chance of doing anything about it. So it's like we got to wake up, we got to pay attention to what's going on in the world around us. We have to get our information from more than just the television. That's a huge problem. You know, and we really have to use our own discernment with everything, whether it's, you know, you're buying bread or you're making a huge life-altering decision. You have to go with your own intuition and use your discernment with everything, because what's true for one person is not necessarily true for another. We are all different. That's been proven.
Yeah, and we are all, I think we're all part of this, and we've all signed up for it. and some might be here just to enjoy the ride, and others are aware. And the reason being, I mean, at our soul level, we're all aware, aren't we? Everybody at their highest level is very aware of what's going on, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, just because you're not aware of it doesn't mean that there's not a higher aspect to yourself, that there's not, you know, some people call it your higher self or your spirit, whatever you want to call it, it's there. And the more of a connection you have with it, mm-hmm. the more your life is going to flow.
It's, well said.
You know,
yeah.
Things will go right for you instead of going wrong.
And I would also look at it as, well, the people that are, because this is the way I've learned it and heard it so many times over and over and over. And just to explain it to people, why some people seem to be awake and some aren't. And I think a lot of it has to do by choice, but also a lot of it has to do if you've been here many, 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 many times, and not everybody's been here many, many, many times, then you've seen how it works. And you've just have kind of said, okay, that's enough. I don't want to go on this ride anymore. It's a nice ride. Don't get me wrong. You can't really get hurt on it, but it's not the way of love. And so maybe if you're going to start changing it and making it the way of love, then I'll sign up for that journey and do what I can to contribute. Otherwise, if you want decadence or drama or negativity, I don't want to sign up for that journey anymore. I don't want to be a part of that. I've been through it too many times.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, there's not only people that have been on this earth just an insane amount of time, which I'm going to raise my hand for that one. Can I go home yet?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But there's, you know, there's other people, especially now at this point in time, there's a lot of souls from other...
First-timers? A lot of first-timers?
Yeah, and also souls that are from different places other than
dimensions,
Earth.
Multidimensional places, higher states of consciousness, too, don't you think? We're getting more of those kind of people that are showing up. So they're all here because they want to change. This is all done peacefully with love. We don't force anything, I think, the light workers. But we know that change is going to happen, and people want this now. And when it reaches a critical mass, I think is when we all wake up. They always say that it's got to reach a critical mass, and then everybody becomes awake at once. So we're here to contribute and bring that forward, is what I see. That's what I see my journey as.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that. And I think that a lot of people, a lot of souls are here from different places. And the places that they come from are far more evolved than we are, for lack of a better term. And, you know, they want to bring that here. So, I mean, I've know that myself, that I've been in different incarnations in different places, and that a lot of people I've read also have, and it looks like they're trying to pull that energy of where they've come from, because all of our souls don't originate from Earth, and we don't just incarnate on Earth.
Right.
But, you know, those higher frequency dimensions, that to tap into that energy and bring it to the Earth, and, you know, thus raising the vibration of Earth by connecting with your higher self and those other energies that you've experienced. It's like kind of pulling out the file drawer and looking through there for the higher information and bringing it in. So I think a lot of people are here to do that, you know, just by virtue of existing on this planet, are anchoring higher vibrational energies to the planet.
That is well said. I definitely agree with you on that. And the best thing we can do is try to anchor that ourselves by holding that frequency of love, I guess. I would say incredible joy. You know, this really good, I don't know what state you get into, but when I get into these certain states that I think are connected to the highest level, it's one of pure joy, pure unconditional love for all things. Even people that are considered enemies or darker energies, because that's the only way we're going to move forward, I think, is through that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's the state of, I don't know, it's like a utopian state. It's just you feel so great. And I've had that experience. I think I told you with my parents, both my parents coming back to me, and I felt this wave of love. And I know it was from one of the highest places around because it was so unconditional and it was so overwhelming, but you felt so good, you know? And I think that's what our true state is, the one of purest joy that you can think of. Whatever it is that makes you the happiest and you've had those moments in your life, that's what we are normally all the time.
I couldn't have said that better myself. You are absolutely right, yes.
And it's not like that while we're here, is it? Not always, is it?
No, we sure love this duality crap, don't we?
Well, it was really nice talking to you. Sarah Wiggins, and she is just outside of Iron Mountain, Michigan. We'll post her email address up there. And is there anything else you want to add today, Sarah?
No, I think that we're good. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was very lovely to talk to you.
Maybe, I know you said you have some people that may want to come on, and I'll be glad to have anybody on you want, because I think, you know, it's all about moving things forward. So everybody's going to come at it from a different angle, slightly different, and I think there's truth in all those teachings. So that's what's great about it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.